by Judicial Decree 8, High Crimes and Misdemeanors, written by Commander James Bondage, narrated by Elliot Daniels. Introduction to the Audio Edition. Dear loyal listeners, in a minute or two, you'll be hearing a new edition of By Judicial Decree 8, High Crimes and Misdemeanors, prepared especially for audio. I've striven to eradicate the troublesome little glitches that seem to haunt my books no matter how many times I go over them, and I can guarantee you that this one is free of any typographical errors, grammar and spelling mistakes, clumsy construction, and flaws of any kind and every kind, unless, of course, it isn't. What I can guarantee you is a compelling reading by the almost unfairly gifted Elliot Daniels, whose interpretation is so superb you won't even notice the remaining boo-boos, if there are any. Which there aren't, I think. This story of the impeachment of a powerful and corrupt politician, although set in an alternate United States, may have taken on new relevance in the light of recent events in our own world. I'm writing these words a few days after the Mueller report proved beyond any doubt that the president is the least guilty, most innocent individual ever to walk alive under the sun, written as it was by crazy deep state Democrats appointed by the president, well, I didn't say it made sense, who exonerated the great man from any and all illegal endeavors from the beginning of time to now. Whew. Whether you loyal listeners out there think By Judicial Decree 8, High Crimes and Misdemeanors is relevant or not, I do hope you enjoy listening to it, and I look forward to seeing you all when I appear at Olufsen's Bookstore and Bait Shop in East Kingsport next Odin's Day for a book signing. Warmest regards, Commander James Bondage. Feel free to email me about whatever may be on your mind at CommanderJamesBondage@yahoo.com. Preface. It's only by an accident of history that we no longer observe the ancient Roman custom of judicial enslavement by or for debt or as a penalty for a criminal conviction. But what if history had taken a different path? Modern physics teaches that there are an infinite number of universes and therefore an infinite number of Earths, some so similar as to be indistinguishable from our own, others so different as to be unrecognizable. Among the infinite number of possibilities, then, there are an infinite number of Earths where history did go a different way than ours. Therefore, there must exist somewhere Earths with histories in which the old Roman way is still followed and slavery is still the law. This story is set in one of those histories. Chapter 1. Sentence. The Carlsvania Chamber of Elders met in an intimidatingly huge room, under a gold-plated dome that arched 50 feet above the floor, making the space feel even vaster, and the men who met there to conduct the state's business feel even punier. On a typical day when Parliament was in session, the great hall would be half empty as one of the elders droned on or about some bill or other, while being ignored by most of the handful of his colleagues in attendance, who carried on private conversations, read proposed legislation or newspapers, or simply snoozed the afternoon away, paying no attention at all to the speaker. But this was far from a typical day. Indeed, the events of this day promised to be unique in the annals of Carlsvanian history. The importance of the occasion was marked by the fact that, for the first time in living memory, every seat in the Chamber of Elders was occupied, overflowing, in fact, as the members of the lower branch of the state legislature, the House of Deputies, had also crowded in, and the visitors' galleries were filled with standing-room-only crowds. For on this day, for the first time in the long history of the state, after being impeached, tried, and convicted by the upper chamber of the Parliament, a sitting governor would be removed from office and sentenced for high crimes and misdemeanors committed during her term in office. That last sentence does not contain a typographical error. During her term in office is correct. As if the moment was not dramatic enough, the governor being sentenced was a woman, the first female executive in the more than three centuries since Carlsvania had become one of the founding states of the Western Provinces. The woman in question sat at a long table, flanked by her attorneys, displaying not the slightest token of discomfort at being the center of attention of the hundreds of the legislators, reporters, and lucky members of the general public who had squeezed their way into the building to witness history being made. Indeed, the soon-to-be ex-governor looked not merely comfortable, but as if she was in complete command of the situation. She sat, apparently at ease, smiling and chatting with her lawyers, until the presiding judge gaveled the room to order. The judge, Lord McKinyon, Lord High Justice of the Supreme Court of Carlsvania, had presided over the impeachment proceedings and the subsequent trial, and had read out the verdict of the Chamber of Elders 2 months earlier. As he had then, he now sat in a great throne-like chair behind an immense oaken desk and a platform high above the floor, a seat normally occupied by the Speaker of the Chamber. Dressed in green, gold, and black robes, and wearing the scroll-topped hat of his office, the ancient, bewigged Lord High Justice looked down impassively on the defendant as the chief crier intoned the ritualistic words.
Oyez, oyez, oyez! The High Court of the Supreme State of Carlsvania is now in session, His Lordship the Most Venerable Justice Lars McKinyon presiding. All those with business before this court draw nigh, and you shall be heard.
The crier turned to look back at the judge, who nodded, then continued.
The defendant, Her Excellency Governor Ulrika Torvald, will now rise for sentencing.
For the first time, the defendant showed some sign of apprehension. She turned her head to either side to glance at her attorneys and licked her lips,